What if the healthiest thing for your relationship was your own front door? Living apart together, or LAT, is really a growing trend where committed couples choose to maintain separate households while staying emotionally and romantically connected. It really flies in the face of the cultural script that says, you know, love means living under one roof, sharing a fridge, and arguing around thermostat settings. But LAT isn't about avoiding intimacy or commitment. It's really about redefining what commitment looks like. So in this episode, we're digging into the psychology, the science, and the very real benefits of LAT relationships and how to tell if this unconventional setup might be right for you. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Relationships Made Easy podcast, where I give you the exact steps to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships, whether it's with your partner, your family, your friends, or most importantly, yourself. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, psychologist, best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and the bossy Jewish mom you didn't know you needed. Each week, you'll get no-nonsense, research-backed strategies served with humor and love, so you can stop second-guessing yourself and start having the relationships you deserve. You'll always leave knowing exactly what to say and do to shift your relationships for the better. So let's get to it. Welcome back to the podcast. Wonderful to have you here. This is a topic near and dear to my heart because my own wonderful Gary and I did this for years in our relationship. In the beginning, we lived apart together. And so I'll talk a little about that maybe, but really, I just want you to know that it's something that I've experienced in a very successful way. And we've been together many years now. I think it's just a wonderful topic to talk about, and I'm glad it's getting more press, shall we say. You know, it's becoming more popular. I think it's really important. So, excuse me, what is living apart together, or LAT? Because this should not be confused necessarily with long-distance relationships. LAT relationships, living apart together relationships, really exist on a spectrum. So some couples live minutes apart. I worked with a couple who lived next door to one another. And they might see each other daily, whereas others live in different cities and have to travel to be together. What they share is going to be a core belief that you don't need to cohabitate to be committed. Okay. So, and I want to say this too, this might sound like a very modern kind of concept, but it's really not new. There was a famous philosopher, and I'm going to say the name wrong, I'm sure. Excuse me. Simone de Beauvoir, Jean-Paul Sartre wrote about this. They had an LAT relationship back in the 1920s. So what is new is that more people are embracing the model, you know, without shame, without secrecy. And I think that's important. And I'll tell you that when Gary and I did this again many years ago now, people really didn't know what to make of it and couldn't understand it. And we were making the decision because I have much younger children than he does because I had babies so late. And I wasn't going to uproot my kids out of their school or anything. And his work was the other way. And he would have had hours of a commute. It just didn't work for us to live together for a while. And, you know, it just didn't work. I wanted to prioritize my children and their happiness first. So, and that's not to beat up on anybody who doesn't do that or does it for other reasons and moves kids around. I'm not trying to diss on anybody. I'm just saying what was right for me and he and Gary at the time. So more recent research estimates that around 10% of adults in committed relationships in the United States live apart from their partner by choice. And again, not due to work, military, or immigration barriers. So, you know, again, LAT relationships can overlap, but are inherently different than long-distance relationships or LDRs, really due to the choice factor. So you can live next door to someone and be in an LAT, in a living apart together relationship, okay? again, so different. It really is a different approach. It's not about, you know, these long distance relationships are a different thing. I did do a previous episode on long distance relationships. And again, wherever I mention research, when I say research says, or I talk about a previous episode, all of those things can, links for those can be found below the video. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you are, leave a comment. Love to hear them. And if not, you can go to the website, find this episode. And there's always a blog post for all the episodes that I, pretty much all of them have a corresponding blog post, because you also might have someone in your life who doesn't like to listen to podcasts, but would read a blog, and you can send them the blog. But all the links, all that are there. Okay. So let's talk about four reasons. I think the top four reasons why people choose a living to apart together arrangement. And really what I want to talk about is the psychology behind having that preference. And so I would say the first one has to do with really autonomy and attachment. So for some people, living separately allows really for greater autonomy in the relationship without sacrificing the connection that you want. And there's a lot of research on adult attachment styles that show that people with secure or earned secure attachment, they often really thrive in LAT setups because they can tolerate intimacy without fear of like engulfment, you know, being just consumed by the relationship, which is really nice. And of course, I've done entire episodes on attachment styles. If you don't know yours or if you're curious about them, I'll link to those. And you should, I think anyone in a living apart together or in a long distance relationship should really know about their attachment style and make sure that they're not doing it from fear, but that they're doing it from love, that, you know, that it's a choice from a healthy place, not an unhealthy place. So, but an example here might be that you love your partner deeply, but find that cohabitating brings out old wounds or control issues, and living apart really helps you regulate your nervous system and stay grounded in the relationship. And I know that some people would say, well, then you have to get over that and you have to work on, you know, lots of people work on these things, lots of people, but sometimes our past has been so damaging in some way that, or I hate the word damaging, has changed us so deeply that we have to sort of come to an understanding of ourselves and what works best for us. And so often this kind of living apart together, the LAT style really works, where you can tolerate the intimacy because you have enough time sort of alone. And it actually helps you be healthier in relationships. So, you know, I think we can tend to pathologize everything. Like, there's one right way to do things. You have to live in the same house and you have to get over it and you have to figure it out. And I am not a subscriber to that. I think that's crap. And I think there's lots of different people in the world and lots of different ways to do love. So, and I think sometimes we're so busy trying to fix ourselves that we don't realize that there's some things that we can accommodate instead. Just like if you had a learning disability or something, you would learn to accommodate it, or a physical disability. You would learn to accommodate it. It wouldn't always be about fixing it. Okay. The second kind of deeper psychological reason I see for this is it really about avoiding the pitfalls of cohabitation. So because living together often intensifies power struggles, right? And daily irritations. So, you know, when you're in a shared living arrangement, it means really negotiating everything, every friggin' tiny thing, from clutter to cleaning styles to the sound of someone chewing with their mouth open all the time to, you know, my wonderful Gary loves to, like, he opens mail on the kitchen counter and just leaves it there in the kitchen. It makes me nuts. Like, it doesn't make me nuts because I deal with it, but like his style, right? First of all, I get all my mail sent to my office where I take care of it. So if I get a bill or something out, right, I'm just dispatching it right away. And And my office is not in my home. Like, it's a separate office building. So, and not everybody has that, granted. But even so, like at home, if I do get something, I bring it into my home office. Like, I don't, but he likes to kind of leave it out so he can see it and decide, or I don't even know what. And we've come up, you know, so those kinds of things are things that you have to, and it's so small, right? But I'm in the kitchen and I'm moving his mail around all the time as I'm cooking or baking or doing something. So we figured out a new system for that. If it stays, I let it stay on the counter for a week, and then I bought something to hold his mail in the office. And so I let it stay there for about a week. I have a week in my head, and then I move it. If he hasn't dealt with it, I move it into his little box. And so we have come to an agreement that that works for us. And not surprisingly, studies have found, of course, right, that cohabitating, of course, increases intimacy, but it also increases conflict frequency. Okay. You don't have to be Freud to figure out that a study would show that, right? So when you're in a living apart together arrangement, an LAT arrangement, it can really sidestep that dynamic entirely, which is kind of great. The third thing is mental health considerations. You know, some people live apart because of mental health needs. If one or both partners struggle, you know, majorly with anxiety, sensory processing issues, trauma history, having separate spaces can be really protective and stabilizing. Okay. So it might be an example could be that you're neurodivergent and you find the sounds and smells of another person's daily life really overstimulating. So living apart lets you recharge and really show up fully when you are together. So come on, how great is that? So let's talk about some. Well, no, let me give you another reason. Sorry. I just realized there's another kind of psychological reason. And I think that's, which applied to me, practical or parental reasons. Okay. So again, living apart together, LAT is also appealing to divorced or widowed people. Again, especially those with kids, because merging households can bring a lot of what I would consider unnecessary stress and disruption. And LAT allows you to preserve peace in parenting while still nurturing a romantic connection, right? While still creating that. So, and I do think, to me, it is one of the reasons I think that my kids really love Gary so much is because, you know, when living apart when they were younger, really allowed them space and time to get to know him, to build a relationship with him over time, where it wasn't like he was their dad all of a sudden. They had a dad. They have a great dad. And I think that divorce is hard enough. And then when you add other, you know, these layers of other relationships on top, you know, gets tough for little tiny brains, right? For our teenagers or our younger, maybe your kids are even younger when you get divorced. So them having time, I think really made a difference and feeling like, and really seeing in a very real way that they were the priority, not my relationship with Gary. Because I mean, I was literally showing them that they were the priority, right? By not, and I let them know why we weren't moving. You know, they asked a few times, you know, how come you guys aren't, aren't living together? And I was very clear about it. I said, well, you know, Gary's life is, and we lived about 30 minutes apart. And I live in the Bay Area, so that could be an hour easily with traffic or more. So not crazily apart, but enough apart that it wasn't easy just to jump over to each other's homes. Again, with Bay Area traffic, it's really bad here. So they had a lot of time just with me and parent, you know, doing those kinds of things. And they still had a lot of time with him too. So getting to build that. For me, that was a priority. It might not be for you, or you might be in a situation. A lot of people, due to finances, right? It's having two separate homes. It's very expensive. And I was lucky enough to, you know, have a job that fully supported my children and myself in a separate residence. And Gary has his own, you know, not everybody has that privilege. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons for this. And I don't want anyone to feel bad if you didn't do things. I'm not sharing how I did it. To make, you know, that's just how I did it. There's zero judgment about how you do it. But I'm just trying to give you like kind of all the reasons why this could come around. This, you know, you could be in an LAT from a psychological perspective. So, let's transition into some common myths about LAT relationships. You know, I really want to bust a few of the stereotypes about them because those are the next thing that gets in the way. I think the biggest myth is that living apart means you're not really committed. Okay. And the truth of that is that commitment is about trust and emotional presence, not square footage. I'm going to say that again. Commitment is about trust and being emotionally present, having someone's back, being completely, utterly, you know, in their life. And square footage has nothing to do with that as far as I'm concerned. So that's a myth, total myth. Another myth is that it's just a stepping stone until you really move in, okay? And I want to tell you that, so Gary and I do live together, but that wasn't, that could have not ended up that way. And for many couples, living apart together, LAT is the destination. It's not a phase. It doesn't have to be a phase. And I want to say that. So that's a myth too. Another myth is that, you know, you must have intimacy issues if you don't live with your partner, if you can't live with your partner. And I have to tell you, and I looked up research on this one. I found research and some of it incorporating multiple countries. I found, I'll link to these, but I found a 10 country study. I found all kinds of stuff showing that many LAT couples report higher relationship satisfaction than cohabitating ones. Okay. So I just want to be really clear about that. And I will also say that there's a way, I have some couples who even quote unquote live apart together at home. They're in the same house, but they maybe have separate bedrooms. They don't sleep in the same room. I mean, there's lots of ways you can create some separation, be that physically in house, in the house, in the same house or in different homes. So I want to say that. So let's talk about signs that LAT, you know, might work for you. Okay, let's see, you know, and I always have some questions when clients bring this up that I tell them to ask themselves. Obviously, when I'm in session with them, I ask them, but you can ask yourself this. So one question is, do I recharge best when I have time and space alone? So I would tell you that that is such a good place to start. Do you recharge best when you have time and space alone? Another question to ask yourself is, do I value routine and order that might not match my partner's? I mean, how many people live together who are so vastly different, so just have such different routines, such different ways of approaching life that, again, why is there this idea that you have to live in the same home when you're just going to irritate each other all the time? Another question, have past experiences of me living with someone, cohabitation experiences, cause me more stress than joy? It's another good question to ask because, again, you just might not, it doesn't mean you're not cut out for a relationship. It might mean that you're not cut out for living with someone else. Another question you could ask yourself is, do I want a deep relationship without the traditional structures? You know, you do need to know that about yourself. And if you said yes to more than one of these, I'll tell you, I think LAT could be a game changer for you and something maybe you haven't thought of. And I think the big question I get asked the most, maybe I don't, this isn't like a myth, but the thing I get asked the most is it avoidant? That's what people like to hang their hat on. Like it's an avoidant attachment style. So I want to talk about that. You know, again, you might worry that living apart is a way to avoid real intimacy. And it is a valid question. I'm not saying it's not. But if you're still showing up for your partner emotionally, if you are engaging in hard conversations, if you are building a future together, then LAT, it's not about avoidance. It's about intentional structure. And I think it's even in some ways more committed to the relationship to be willing to not live in the same home all the time. And again, couples who consciously choose LAT tend to communicate more clearly about their needs and their boundaries. That, and I saw one, I saw a bunch of studies on this. There was one study, I think it was from the early, like 2021. I'll link to it. I think it was 2021 or 2022, that even found that LAT couples experience less what we call relational ambivalence. Okay. Because they had to think deeply about how to make the, you know, ambivalence means you're not sure, right? Like, am I in, am I out? The waffling. And a lot of LAT couples experience less of that because you really have to think deeply about how to make the arrangement work. So it's different, right? It's interesting. So there's a lot less ambivalence because you've really put so much intentionality in. I think there's so, you know, because of the way traditional structures have worked, there's so much like, yeah, date and then you move in and you get married, or you get married and move in, however you do that. You have kids and then you do that. You know, there's such, and I think a lot of people shouldn't have children. I think a lot of people have kids who have no business having kids or really haven't thought it through. They just think that's what you do. You know, I remember at my wedding, people asking like, when are you having kids? You know, it's like, gosh, like, can I get married for a minute? You know, there's just so much, there's a lot of pressure around it. When are you jumping in? When are you getting married? When are you living together? When are you, you know, and I really encourage you not to get caught up in other people's ideas of what should and shouldn't be. A lot of this comes from, you know, structures that worked for survival for many millennia. And it doesn't mean that it's a structure for survival now. You know, you can really make different choices. So, and so before I jump into my five strategies, I want to talk about the five strategies. I want to let you know the free download for today's episode. And I'm really, boy, season eight, right? I'm bringing it. I'm trying to make every download as specific as possible for the episode. I have, and is LAT right for you? It's a self-assessment quiz and conversation starter scripts. I have gone above and beyond. Thank you very much. So it's a quick, I use research. It's a research-backed quiz as far as I'm concerned, you know, because I use the things we show in research to know if this is right for you. It's a little quick quiz you can take to assess your fit for LAT, for a long living apart together relationship. And then I included five scripts for starting the conversation with your partner. If you want to start that conversation and see, you know, if it can have a be a positive thing for the two of you. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time, ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. I also want to say that anyone in an LAT relationship would be greatly helped by my Boundaries Made Easy book or my Boundaries Made Easy or workbook. If you're watching me on YouTube, they're right behind me. I can't speak. I'm really proud of these books. I spent a lot of time on them. They're full of information on how to create boundaries, what boundaries are, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to plug my books because they're really good and they're going to help you. And if you're looking at, I really think any relationship, but you know, the boundaries are the key. So just want to say that too. All right. Let's talk about how to make LAT work, how to make living apart together work. And these are my top five research-backed strategies. Okay, so nothing. Abby didn't come up with this out of a vacuum, right? I took it from the research. So what number one is to create a shared vision. So we know again from the research that LAT works best when both people are on the same page about what the relationship is and what it's not, what it isn't. So unlike kind of traditional cohabitation, you know, traditional living together, where a lot of the kind of cultural defaults often guide the expectations, LAT requires conscious clarity. You have to consciously think about it. So research on what's called relational agency, you know, our agency, how we feel in relationships, the ability to co-create agreements in a relationship, shows that couples who explicitly define roles, define expectations and goals, overall report higher satisfaction and lower conflict. So, again, whether you're living together or apart together, these are things to think about. But here, I want to say, because, you know, I always want to give you tips in the moment, ask yourselves, what does committed mean to each of us in this context, right? Get clear. How often do we want to see each other in person? Are we exclusive? Does this mean monogamy for us, or is it something else? What does showing up look like when we don't live together? Okay. Another thing to ask is, how will we handle changes, illnesses, emergencies, future moves? So I always say, so try this. You could write down your shared vision as kind of a working agreement. That's what I would say to do. You know, write down your shared vision and make it like a working agreement. I even had one couple I worked with, this is about a year ago, but they signed it like a contract. And then revisit it every, you know, 6 to 12 months. I would say in the beginning of doing it, I would revisit it every 6 months. And then after, you know, once you're in a good place, but I still would revisit it every year and adjust it as needed. You know, what's working for us? People change. We grow. We, you know, as you get older, that's what Gary and I did. We were apart, you know, and then the kids are getting older. It's like, okay, let's revisit this commitment we've made. Do we still want to be apart? Should we look at moving in together? Do we want to move in together? You know, what are all the pieces? Number two would be to really prioritize your rituals of connection. So when you live together, connection happens, you know, it happens all the time. It happens in the in-between moments, right? Brushing your teeth next to each other, you know, you're side by side brushing your teeth. Maybe you're sharing your morning tea or coffee, greeting each other when you come home, right? In LAT relationships, those moments, they don't happen automatically. So you need to be intentional about creating them. And studies show that couples who maintain regular rituals, who really think about this, they experience higher intimacy and resilience, really resilience during stressful times. So because these rituals really anchor you to each other emotionally, you know, especially when life gets hectic, and it's going to get hectic. So in this situation, I want you to ask yourselves, you know, what daily or weekly rituals can we commit to? What would we like? When Gary and I lived apart, we used to always call and text in the morning. You know, every morning there was something when we weren't physically together, right? There was always some texting, good morning, and then a call, like a, you know, hi there, and then a phone call just to hear each other's voices. We're not much for, every now and then it would be a FaceTime, but we weren't much for FaceTime. But every night, he called it tucks. We would like tuck each other in, you know, that was a thing. So, and then obviously, but those were two anchors all the time. So you have to ask yourself, what daily or weekly rituals do you want to commit to? How will we stay emotionally tuned in when we're apart? Got to answer that question. What are the small gestures that make me feel loved? What do you need? What would let you feel safe and loved? Do we have rituals for connection? And do we have rituals for repair when things aren't good? You know, how does that work, right? So some other examples could be, other than the one I just gave, like, you know, morning voice notes or check-in text or whatever, phone calls, could be a standing date night, even if it's virtual. shared media, you know, playlists or, you know, Netflix shows, something like that, watching something together, sending small physical gifts, letters, things like that. Again, research shows that these small repeated actions regulate that emotional distance. They really help regulate it and reinforce the bond. So having them is super, super important. Number three is to address financial boundaries head on. LAT can get expensive because you've got double rent or mortgage or more utilities, travel, all that, right? So if money conversations make you squeamish, you know, obviously you're not alone. I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but not having them, I'm going to tell you right now, is a really fast track to resentment. It really is. Financial disagreements, you know, are one of the top predictors of relational problems, distress, right? So an LAT is going to add complexity because couples may feel less obligated to merge finances, but still experience, of course, a financial entanglement, which really needs clarity. So here I would say ask yourselves, how do we define fairness around money? Will we split costs for shared experiences? Or, and if we do, how do we split? Is it 50-50? Is it another way? Are we transparent about income, about debt, about spending, about budgeting? Is financial support expected if one partner earns more? Like, these are all the questions to be asking. Because again, if you're in a committed relationship, if you were living together, your finances would be discussed. So just because you're living apart together doesn't mean finances shouldn't be discussed. Of course they should. They impact the relationship. It doesn't mean, you know, because you're not, you know, deciding how to split a utility bill necessarily, but maybe you are. Again, good finances can be very bonding and it can really drive a wedge also. So you want to have these conversations. One of my tips here is to use the yours, mine, and ours method. So for finances, it might be yours, personal income and expenses, right? The mine might be the same for your partner, and the hours might be shared costs like travel, meals, vacations, things like that. We know that couples who talk openly about money before making any lifestyle decision, like LAT, but anything else, they always report lower conflict and more financial harmony. And that's what you're looking for. So especially, I would say, if you're afraid to have this conversation or don't want to have this conversation, it's probably all the more reason why you should have this conversation. Okay. Number four is make space for changing needs. Living apart together, LAT, isn't static. That's why you're going back to that, you know, agreement every 6 to 12 months. It's a living agreement that needs regular care. It needs regular reassessment. There was a longitudinal study on relationship transitions that I read that found that couples who make room for evolving needs report more trust and less emotional withdrawal over time. So there you go. So again, what are you going to ask yourselves? You're going to ask yourselves, is this still working for both of us emotionally? Is it still working for both of us logistically? Are we making assumptions about what the other wants? Have any life circumstances shifted? You know, jobs, kids, health. Are we both feeling secure or are we starting to drift, right? I would say to definitely set a quarterly check-in to ask a few questions. One would be, what's working well in our LAT setup? What's feeling off or unsustainable? What changes would make this even better? Those, you could just ask those three. And I would approach these kind of like a board meeting, you know, no distractions, clear agenda, full presence, really being 100% there to have this talk, because I think it's incredibly important. Number five, last one, is to speak openly about the social perceptions, because there will be many. Gary and I dealt with a lot of this. LAT can really feel like you're swimming upstream. Your friends assume maybe you're not serious. Maybe your mom keeps asking when you're going to move in. You know, the pressure to explain or defend can really chip away at your confidence if you're not grounded in your own clarity. And I will tell you that the studies I read showed that people in non-traditional partnerships often experience something they've dubbed in the research as relationship invisibility. I know, right? Like, it doesn't count. It's not real. And that can lead, obviously, to some self-doubt, right? Unless you buffer that with really strong internal and interpersonal validation. So I would say you and your partner would be asking yourselves, you know, how do I talk about our relationship with others? What language feels clear and confident? And when I talk about the therapy to go bundle later, I'll talk about that at the end. I have stuff, all these suggestions I have, I've got things for this. You know, if you're in an LAT, you probably want the therapy to go bundle, or if you're really thinking about it. Even if you're in a long distance relationship, you probably want it. But I'll talk about that at the end. So ask yourself, you know, what language do I want to use with other people? And internally, in my own head, what feels clear? What feels confident? Do I internalize other people's discomfort or judgment? You need to know if that's happening. How do we support one another when other people aren't understanding? Okay. So I would say definitely you should have a go-to script. Okay. So I'm going to give you some hints now, even though I have a lot of this in the therapy to go bundle. You can say things like, yeah, we're in a committed relationship. We just live separately because it works better for us. That's pretty much what I used to say to people when they'd ask about Gary and I. You could say something like, well, you know, we just find we're more present when we each have space to recharge. One of my favorites that I had one of my clients use, it's not traditional, but it's intentional, right? I love that one. It's not traditional, but it's intentional. I would tell you that most people ask because they're jealous or not ask. Most people judge because they're jealous. Sorry. If they're just asking, it's not because of that. I think a lot of people judge because they're afraid in their own life. They, you know, most people judge out of fear. I would say everybody judges out of fear. Otherwise, why do you have to judge something? There's some fear that's driving this judgment. And I think for a lot of people, they're just scared of this non-traditional setup, or maybe that their own partner might want it, or that they even might want it and don't have it. So make sure that you realize it's about them, not you. And the more self-assured you are in your language, the more likely others are to respect your choices. I find that people backed right off because I was so clear about it. Okay. So just some final thoughts before I get to what's in the therapy to go bundle, in case you want to get that for this episode. If you are part of my One Love Collective, my online Substack community, which is really going great. Love it over there. And, or you can be a free subscriber to me on Substack too. And see if you like it. And then if you do, you might do the paid and you get the live Q&As and all the other things I do. But I'm going to say this for final thoughts. Living apart together, it's not about being afraid of love or avoiding responsibility. It's about doing relationships on purpose, not by default. And if you've ever felt like you had to choose between closeness and independence, LAT asks, you know, why not have both? That it's kind of how I think of it. Okay. So that's it. That's the wrap up. Remember to get your free, it's really an LAT starter kit, right? The free download today is LAT Right For You, a self-assessment quiz and conversation starter scripts. And it'll really help assess your fit for LAT, right? So check that out. And then if you're part of my One Love Collective, and if you're not part of the One Love Collective is $8 a month on Substack, and that puts you in. You get everything from you get the episodes with no ads, you get free, you know, early drops, you get access to me, you get part of the community, which is amazing, you get the live Q&As, and you get the every Therapy to Go bundle, which is $10 otherwise. For each and every one. So if you liked every one in a month, that would be $40. For just $8, you can be part of the collective. So just saying, I try to make it a no-brainer, but it's up to you. So here's what's in the Therapy to Go bundle. And it's a checklist, what to talk about before you try LAT. There are journaling prompts, which I always have. I have really good journaling prompts for this. I usually have about 15 of them. There's, I'm calling it our LAT compatibility worksheet. It's like a little snapshot of your compatibility for it to really see. Another exercise is the LAT values alignment exercise. Really, really good. I have a script bank. These are words to say when LAT feels misunderstood. This is kind of what you say to other people. And lastly, there's an LAT touch points tracker. So again, trying to help you track and check back in and do all that. So yeah, really, I know. I give a lot in the bundles because I want them to feel like therapy. I want that's why I call therapy to go. I want them to feel like you can get everything you need. If this is something that really is speaking to you, is something you want to learn more about, that you can go deep. And if you have a therapist that you could use the bundle with your therapist, you could go over the exercises and all that. And if not, you could, if you want to be in the community and the One Love Collective on Substack, you could talk about it in there if you were in the community. So anyway, but even just on your own, there's a lot to learn. That's it for today. Thank you. I can't remember who originally wrote in about this topic. Actually, a few of you did. I know Tony did. Tony, you know who you are. Other people have written in too, though. And so I always appreciate when you come in with ideas for me of what feels relevant and what you really want to talk about, because that's what I want to talk about. I'm here for you. All right. Mwah. I love you so much. Have an amazing week. And we're going to talk. Hey, I'll see you here next week. Thank you for spending time with me today. If you're loving what you're learning here, come join my One Love Collective. It's my private community where we take these conversations even deeper. You'll get a ton of bonus content, live Q&As with me, guided visualizations, journaling prompts, scripts, and an incredible community of like-minded people ready to support you as you create more ease and joy in all your relationships. It's all waiting for you at abbymetcalf.com or right on Substack. I'll see you next week.